It's the Zesty Gardens Bug Bites segment, and I have with me in studio Diane Alston. She's USU's extension entomologist, and today's bite of information about insects is about the Mexican bean beetle. And I know I have them in my garden from time to time. Some summers they tend to be worse than others, but I don't usually worry too much about them because I tend to plant my beans so late that I've kind of missed the window.
And so what kinds of beans do you tend to find them on in your garden?
Blue Lake. Okay, so the stringless beans.
Right. So they love all kinds of green beans, and they like wax beans. And they'll even feed on other kinds of legumes too, but those first ones are their preferences. Have you ever used any just squishing methods where you feed?
Yes,
where you
could, if I'm picking the beans.
Yeah.
And I know to look for them. Now, they're usually on the underside of the leaf, so I have to be on the lookout. But if I start seeing them, then I'll start turning over other leaves to find them, and that seems to be well enough. If I have a really bad infestation, I use spinosad. I don't know if it's even registered for that, but they're biting mouth parts.
Right,
so
no, it works. Spinosad is a good product for them. Yeah, so the eggs are bright yellow in color, and they're laid in small clusters, so that makes them fairly easy to see when they're in the egg stage, which is an advantage if you want to try the, you know, looking and squishing method. But you mentioned that they are laid on, that you find them on the undersides of the leaves, and that's actually what this particular news article was about, is that researchers were looking for some non-insecticidal ways to help manage Mexican bean beetles, which are an invasive pest from Mexico and those types of areas, and have moved up into spread across the entire, you know, legume bean growing area of North America. And so they are.
And they even get into alfalfa?
Yeah, they said they can even feed. I don't think that's a favored legume, but they can. And they have now had problems with them in some areas in soybeans. So places in the country where we grow lots of soybeans, and in some places Mexican bean beetle have been problems there. Here in Utah, we know about them as a bean pest in our home garden or small scale bean production. But that point about that they like the undersides of the leaves was something that researchers took note of and said, we knew if we shined a light on a leaf, the bean beetle, the active stages, the larvae or the adults, would always crawl around and move to the opposite side if that was their only choice. It could be on the side with the light shining or the side away from the light. They always move to the other side, and they would only ever lay their eggs on the side that was away from the light. And so that gave them an idea with these types of plastic mulches. So the plastic covers that we put down on the ground to help accelerate the soil heat and get our plants growing faster. If you use a type of plastic mulch that has a metallic surface, and what that does is reflect the sunlight back up onto the underside of the plant. And so that's what they found, is that when you use a metallicized plastic mulch under your bean plants, that the bean beetles did not like those plants, and so they did not thrive there. They chose to go elsewhere. They, you know, you repelled them away from those plants, and they did not lay very many eggs and did not feed and cause very much damage to those plants.
I could imagine if you've got pole beans, so mine, my wife always has to step up on a stool to get to the ones at the very top, because I'm using hog panels and horse panels stacked on top of each other. So, I mean, if I'm reaching up, so what is that, about 7 feet that they're up, that they wouldn't probably reflect that tall. But I could especially see this if you're growing bush beans.
Bush beans, yes.
Wow, that would be a great way to control them.
Right. You're right. It may not, but maybe you could come up with maybe you could hang some of this metallicized plastic mulch on the wire, or, you know, on the panel that you put up, or somehow to, you know, on the edge or something, the side that would still reflect light back into the plant. And so it's not mentioned in this article, but I had read elsewhere too that they were looking to develop varieties of beans that had leaves that were just, you know, maybe smaller leaves, or leaves that were at certain angle, grew at certain angles, such they didn't provide as much shading, and that would just be more resistant to Mexican bean beetles, because they wouldn't like those kinds of leaves as well.
I love this type of control that gets away from the chemicals.
Yeah.
Because doesn't it also make it harder for the insect to develop against that type of control? In other words, if you've got chemicals, well, there's always a few that aren't bothered by the chemicals, and eventually the population builds up and they're resistant to it. But it's harder to be resistant to something like this.
To something like a behavioral change, yes, for sure. I mean, insects are so prone to developing resistance to insecticides because, in general, insects are they live in a chemical-oriented world. They use odors, chemical cues to find their food, to warn them of if there's a predator around, pretty much to find a mate. Everything in their life is controlled by chemicals. And so they have biological systems that are very highly adapted to adapt to chemicals. And so if we spray a particular kind of insecticide like malathion year after year for a long period of time, pretty soon that insect says, well, I've developed a way now to detoxify that or somehow avoid that chemical in my physiological system. And so it's not a problem for me anymore. Mm. Whereas moving, always trying to find the shaded underside of the leaf. And if you can't find a very good place, giving up and just flying away and saying, I'm not going to lay my eggs here, is something that they're probably not going to adapt to very well.
And it's interesting that they are able to look at these limiting factors to insects. Mm-hmm. And they're going to vary from one insect
to the next
to another.
Right.
So maybe I should have gone into research to look at something like this, because this just seems fascinating to me.
It does. Yeah, I thought it was a very, it seems like a fairly basic kind of solution, a metallic plastic mulch, but how creative and how effective. It sounds like it can be very, very effective.
And this is the Mexican bean beetle is the one that they studied.
Right.
And so that's native to the highlands of Mexico.
Right, right.
So, but it has spread, I guess it's a lot more of a problem in the eastern and Midwest than it is here.
I think here it's common here, but it, as you were just describing, yeah, I see them in my garden, and some years they're worse than others, or maybe it's a certain variety of bean that I grew that year that it's worse on than others. But
and maybe there are more predators here than there are.
But they don't see. You lose some productivity to them, but it's not a tremendous amount. Whereas there have been times in the past and locations in the eastern United States that have had what you would call a real outbreak, where they were unable to grow beans in that area with the populations of Mexican bean beetle they were experiencing. So much more severe, I agree with you, in the east. But here it's common, but kind of at a lower level.
And that's our Bug Bites segment for today. We were talking about the new control methods for Mexican bean beetle that are very IPM, integrated pest management friendly. And Diane Alston has been my guest. Thanks, Diane.
Yeah, thank you.